You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a family Bible teaching ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here another Saturday evening to continue the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Last week, we finished a series on growing grace and knowledge. So this week we will be starting a new series, the Gospel Writings of Mark. The Gospel Writings of Mark, that's what we are going to start with this week. The Gospel Writings of Mark, and we're going into the book of Mark. Okay, the Gospel Writings of Mark. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So we are going into the Gospel Writings of Mark. But before we begin, let us pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We honor you for who you are. For you are God and God alone, the Holy One, the Righteous One. You are great and greatly to be praised. You are the Supreme One. You are above all, exalted far above all else. There is none like you, O God, and none can be compared to you, because you are the true and living God. We bless your name today. We praise you. We honor you. We give you glory. We thank you for this privilege, O God, to come to declare your word. We thank you for your people who took the time out to hear your word. And we pray, O God, Almighty Lord, your word will bring transformation in the hearts of your people. We thank you again, O God, Almighty Lord, for leaving your words with us. O God, Almighty Lord, your word is spirit and life. And we thank you, O God, today that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. As we continue, O God, Almighty Lord, on this journey, O God, Almighty Lord, your word, O God, will illuminate the path for us so that we do not stumble. We thank you again for your presence. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for this new series. And we pray, O God Almighty, as we look, O God, into the gospel writings of our Lord Jesus Christ, we will come to understand, O God, more about him and walk in true fellowship with him. Father God, we thank you again for who you are and what you are doing. Thank you, O God, for clearing the atmosphere. Thank you, O God Almighty, that your word will go forth, O God Almighty, as you want it to, in the name of Jesus. O God, we thank you, O God Almighty, that you prevent any hindrance and your word will go forth and transform the lives of others. Almighty God, those who hear, O God, will cry out, Jesus, save me, keep me, transform me. Father God Almighty, Lord, we pray that your word, O God, will fall on good ground. O God, that it will germinate. Almighty God, and bring forth fruits of righteousness. Father, we thank you for your presence and what you're doing in this season. And we look to you by faith, trusting you, Holy Spirit, to lead and guide us into all truth. We bless and honor and give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray, and we say amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Bless the name of Jesus. He's worthy of praise. He's worthy of glory. So let us bless his name forever. And let us continue to trust him that he will see us through. He is God and God alone, the Righteous One. He is the Holy One. And he will show us the path that we ought to take. So we are going to go in the gospel writings of Mark. And the word reminds us, the gospel, it says the gospel writings of Mark. So we see Mark wrote the gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see where Mark tell of all the wonderful things that Christ has done. So he is the gospel writer. The gospel is not Mark's gospel. The gospel is about Jesus Christ. So he is the writer, the gospel writer. So one of the gospel writer. So we see, people of God, we must understand that the gospel is about Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ, the good tidings of Jesus Christ. So we must know the difference and understand that it's all about Jesus. So Mark saw it fit to write about Jesus. And Mark got his information from who we don't know. The word of God don't say who he got his information from. But we know it must be from one of Jesus' apostles. So we see Mark's gospel writing was to the Romans. So Mark wrote to the Romans. So Mark's gospel writings emphasize actions and deeds of Jesus Christ. We see Jesus on the move in the book of Mark. We see him on the move, people of God. He's always on the move, getting things done, healing, casting out demons, performing miracles, and teaching in the synagogues. We see people of God wherever he goes. We see he would find that time to teach his people and to show them the way of salvation. So we see, people of God, that Jesus Christ went forth doing good. And Mark, here in the Gospel of Mark, tells us about the things that Christ did. So we see in the Gospel of Mark, everything seemed to happen at a rapid pace. We see how fast Mark was going. He just give you sometimes one verse about a certain thing and go on to something else. So we see everything happening at a rapid pace in the book of Mark. We see a little slowing down at the end of the gospel writings. So we see him slowing down a bit when Jesus arrived in Jerusalem before his crucifixion. So we are going to go through the book of Mark. And when we come to that, we will see that he slows down a little there. But we see he's always at a rapid pace. So Mark is the same John Mark, the son of Mary, in whose house the early church sometimes gathered. And we can read that in Acts 12. Remember when the church gathered and they prayed for Peter, who was arrested by Herod. So they prayed and God answered their prayers. Angel came and let Peter out of that prison. So we see this is the same John Mark who is the son of Mary. And we see the same John Mark who went with Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey in Acts 13:5. And we see where he also deserted them. So we see even because Mark deserted them, there was contention between Paul and Barnabas. And Barnabas took Mark and sailed away with him. So we see that Mark, as we have said, he wrote to the Romans. And he was in Rome at that time. And we see he identified his theme in the first verse of Mark 1. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So we see it is very clear that he decided to write on Jesus Christ, the Messiah King. So he wrote on Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that Jesus is the divine Son of God. This is the major emphasis of the gospel writings of John. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the divine Son. We are sons and daughters, but Jesus is the beloved, the begotten of God. He is the divine Son of God. So we are going to be looking at the gospel writings of Mark, beginning with chapter 1. Chapter 1, the beginning of the gospel. The word said, chapter 1, verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Mark 1:1, coming from the New King James Version. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And look at verse 2. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. So we see, people of God, John, we see here where John the Baptist, it was written of John the Baptist, who is the forerunner. He is the one who heralded in the Messiah. So we see where Mark wrote about John the Baptist, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger, the messenger is John the Baptist, before your face, who will prepare your way before you. So they say, the voice of one, verse 3, crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So this was prophesied by Isaiah the prophet, in Isaiah 40, verse 3 to 5. Let us turn there, Isaiah 40, verse 3 to 5, and we will see where it was prophesied, people of God. Whatever was prophesied has to come to pass. The word must come to pass. So we see here where Mark wrote about it, that John the Baptist, the messenger, the forerunner, the one who came to herald in the Messiah, we see he was the one who was sent before Jesus to prepare the way, prepare the hearts of the people. Prepare the hearts of the people. that they will receive Jesus Christ as the Messiah King. So he prepared ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So he made the path straight by preaching repentance, remission of sin, and baptizing the people, preparing their hearts to receive the Messiah King. So we are going to turn to Isaiah 40, verse 3 to 5. Isaiah 40, verse 3 to 5. We see the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Isaiah wrote, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord had spoken it. So we see the Isaiah and the prophet prophesied that John would come and prepare the way of the Lord. So we see, people of God, every part, the path was made straight. We see the word was preached. Repentance was preached for the remission of our sins. And John preached repentance, and we see, and he said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom came when Christ came, because the king has come. So we, as God's people, must understand that the word was written and the word had to be fulfilled. So we see in verse 4 of Mark 1, John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. The word said, then all the land of Judah and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sin. So we see Mark's gospel, people of God, Mark didn't spend no time going into no detail. He was just showing that Jesus Christ came and what he did. So he was just pointing to all that was said and done. But he started with the forerunner, who was John the Baptist. And we have to understand, we have to start at the beginning. So we see, people of God, the word tells us that all Judah came out to John, and they were all baptized in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. So they didn't just go baptized, but they confessed their sin. Let us read Matthew 3:1-6. Matthew 3:1-6, the word said, and in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judah and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So we see, people of God, that John the Baptist came and he proclaimed the word of God. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying. So John made it clear that Isaiah was the one who spoke of Jesus' coming, and that the way must be prepared for him. Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judah, and all the regions around the Jordan went out by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. So we see, people of God, what happened. John went about preaching the good news of the kingdom, repentance and remission of sin. And all Judah and Jerusalem and the region, they went about to hear the word, and they confessed their sins, and they were baptized in Jordan. So we see, people of God, that we as God's people must know that we have to follow step by step, start from the beginning, repentance first. We must repent. We must confess our sins. Then we are ready to be baptized. We are going God's way because we have turned from our old sinful way and turned to God. We can't go to be baptized, people of God, and we haven't confessed Jesus Christ as Lord of our lives. So we have to understand that we must go and confess him, confess that Jesus Christ is Lord before we are baptized. Many want to be baptized, and baptism, people of God, we must understand, cannot save us. Baptism is just a public declaration that we have turned from our sinful way and have turned to Christ. We are declaring to the public, it's a witness that we have turned from our evil way and have turned to Christ. So it is for us to know that baptism cannot save us. So if we are planning on saying we are going to be baptized and we know we haven't confessed our sins, confess your sin first. First thing first, confess your sin, and he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The word said John was clothed, verse 6, with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. So we see the word tells us how John was clothed. And John was clothed just as how Elijah was clothed. And Jesus himself spoke that John came in the power and spirit of Elijah. So we see that they were even dressed alike. They were even dressed alike. So in 2 Kings 1:8, the word said, tell us how Elijah dressed. So they answered him, a hairy man wearing a leather belt around his waist. As he said, it is Elijah, the Tishbite. So Elijah was dressed like John, and John came in the spirit and power of Elijah, even dressed like him. So we see, people of God, we have to understand this, that John was even dressing like Elijah. John was a powerful man of God. He came to prepare the way of the Lord. But John himself said that one is coming after me is mightier than I. John himself always points to Jesus. So what is this saying to us today? We must point to Jesus. We have been highlighting ourselves for so long, but it's time now to point to Jesus. So we see John himself pointed to Jesus. So we see, even though John was a powerful man of God, he said Jesus was mightier than he was. So we see that as we read the word of God and understand, it's about placing Jesus at the highest place. He is the Messiah King. He is ranked higher than all. There is none like him, and none can be compared to him, because he alone is God. So we must see him for who he is and point people to him, not to ourselves. Look on verse 7 of Mark 1. And he preached, saying, there comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to stoop down and loose. So John was saying, one was coming after me. He is mightier than I. I'm not even worthy to stoop down and loose his sandals. So we have to understand, people of God, that we must highlight Jesus in everything that we do or say. Let us turn to John 1. Let us turn to John 1. Look on the gospel writings of John. John 1, 29 to 34. John 1, 39 to 34. The word said, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptized with the Holy Spirit. Verse 34, and I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. I have seen and testified, people of God. John saw, and it was revealed to John the Baptist that this is the Messiah King. So he knew that Christ was the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of this world. So we see, people of God, John knew his place. He knew that he was just a forerunner. He wasn't the Messiah. John could have said, yes, I am the Messiah. But no, he knew he could not live that way. He was a godly man from birth, we understand. He was filled with the Spirit. So John gave Jesus the glory that belonged to him, people of God. And we as God's children must give Jesus the glory that belongs to his name. Let us remember that Christ himself is the one who came and died for us. He must be glorified in every aspect of our lives. So let us look at verse 8 of Mark 1. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So John spoke of Jesus. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize. Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So when we look at Matthew 3:11, the word said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandal I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. So John was saying, my baptism is an external baptism. I'm baptizing you with water. And externally you're saying, okay, my life has changed and I'm going the way of the Lord. But internally, people of God, Jesus will baptize us internally. He will baptize us with the Holy Ghost and fire. We see the Holy Spirit has come to burn out the carnality in us. All the wicked ways and habits and conducts that we have, behaviors that are not pleasing to God, the Holy Spirit is here to burn them out. Jesus said, I've come to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. So we need that fire to burn out our carnality. And many of us have been so carnal in our ways, people of God. But God is saying to us today that he will come and burn out those carnal nature in us, those carnal behavior, those carnal conducts. For the Holy Spirit comes to cleanse us internally, people of God. John reminds us, Jesus will baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. We need the Holy Spirit. We need a fresh baptism. We need a fresh encounter. We need fresh anointing, people of God. And the Holy Spirit is the one who anoints us afresh. So we need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We need to know, people of God, that we must be constantly filled with the Spirit. It's not a one-time thing. Each day we should be filled up with the Spirit. Our behavior should show that the Holy Spirit is in control of us. Look at verse 9 of Mark 1. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in the Jordan. So Jesus himself was baptized of John in the Jordan. So many might be thinking, why does Jesus allow John to baptize him? You know, Jesus was in need of baptism. Jesus is holy, he's righteous, fully God, fully man. But we see, people of God, we reason for the baptism of Jesus in Matthew 3:13-15. The word tells us that Jesus came in Matthew 3:13-15. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me. Well, look at what Jesus said. But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. So we see they must carry out all that God requires of them. They must carry out all the requirement of the Father. They must accomplish what is written in the Old Testament about them. Doing what? The will of God. John went forth as the forerunner, preparing the way of the Lord. Jesus Christ was coming, and John was going forth first to prepare the way of the Lord. So all these were written in the Old Testament about them. So they have to do the will of God together. So we understand the will of God must be carried out in their lives together. They must accomplish what is written in the Old Testament about them doing the will of God. This was the will of God for John to baptize the Messiah King. So John himself said, "You are mightier than I. I'm not even worthy. I'm the one that you should be baptizing." Jesus said, "Allow it to be so, John. Allow it. The righteous requirement must be fulfilled in us. The word of God must be fulfilled." And we see John baptize him. Look at verse 10. "And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove." We saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon Jesus like a dove. "Then a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" That's verse 11 of Mark 1. "Then a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" So we see the Father affirms the Son. Jesus, the beloved Son, the darling of heaven, is well pleasing to the Father. "In you I am well pleased." So we see, people of God, where God affirms the Son, Jesus Christ. So we see right at Jesus' baptism, the Father spoke from heaven. We see the Holy Spirit coming like a dove upon Jesus. And we see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit represented right there at Jesus' baptism. So we see the Father affirms the Son, Jesus, the beloved Son, the darling of heaven. And we see that he is well-pleasing to the Father. We are called to be like Jesus. We are called to conform to the image of the Son, of the beloved Son. So we are called to conform to the image of Jesus, to bear his character, people of God, that the world will come to know him. This can only be done by the transforming power of the Holy Ghost. This can only be done by the transforming power of the Holy Ghost. So we as God's people are called to conform to the image of Jesus Christ, to bear his character, to know him, to love him, to obey him, to walk in his ways. And this can only be done through the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. People of God, we have finished this session for this week, and we pray that as we go through the gospel writings of Mark, that we will be filled with passion for Jesus Christ. We will know him and walk in his ways. God bless you. Let us stop here. We'll pray and end this session. Father, we thank you for your presence with us. We thank you for what you're doing in this season. And we thank you, O God Almighty, as we go through these gospel writings, that we will come into a closer relationship with Jesus. We thank you again for those who are listening, and we thank you that lives will be transformed with your word as we continue on this pathway. Father, we bless you, we honor and give you glory in Jesus' precious name, and we pray and say amen and amen. Blessings to all. In the
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word, "Thy Word is a Lamp." You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy Word is a Lamp.
accident.